know where to start, but as you know, my name is Zach Riley, and I just got saved recently about 3.5-4 months ago. And I'm 19 years old. I grew up in Baltimore County in Maryland. Rough childhood for the most part, but I got through it by God. Thank him for everything. So my parents growing up, they were baptized and they were Methodists. But me, I didn't grow up in a church or anything like that. I didn't have anyone around me that believed in God. I didn't really have God on my side growing up or anything like that. So it was all up to me to, you know, base my life on how I wanted to go. So, you know, throughout middle school, I used to get in fights every single day, get suspended all the time. And I just wanted to do the, you know, the fleshly things, you know. So, like, I would say 7th or 8th grade, I started getting into some deep stuff, you know, getting arrested and all that stuff. About 2 years ago, I recently got locked up, 2 years ago, for a armed robbery, which I didn't even commit. I was just there at the wrong place at the wrong time. And they tried to give me 48 plus years, but I was only locked up for 5 months. And I kept praying every single day that he will get me home. And, you know, they let me home on my dad's birthday. And they put me on GPS, and I was on probation for 11 months. And I thought about it, and I said, everything that I've been doing growing up, it isn't worth it. It's not worth being in a casket. It's not worth being in a hospital bed. It's not worth anything like that. So, you know, I had to be a man and actually turn to God, because that's who really cared for me when I was locked up. I didn't have no one else but God. He's the one who really got me home. So I'm really thankful for that, and I'm thankful for Ryan and Steven here for getting me closer to God with my walk and everything like that. And I also want to thank my parents, because they support me, and I'm actually trying to bring them closer to God, because they like drifted away and everything like that. So I'm trying to bring them closer and everything like that. But, you know, it's just for these past few months, I felt happier than ever. Like, 19 years, it's okay, but these last few months been better than these few years I've had. So it's just really, really great to have everyone here and hear my testimony. Hopefully I can change someone's life at least, you know. But yeah, I don't really have a long testimony or anything. It's just I try to make it sound really great, you know. But yeah, it's just really lovely to be here. Long travel. God kept us safe, you know. I see a lot of beautiful souls in here. That's good. Yeah. I just feel welcome here. Just want to thank everybody for welcoming us here in the house of the Lord and everything like that on God's day and everything like that. And I just really appreciate it, you know. I just really appreciate it. Thank you. Will. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for this day you've given us. We thank you, Father, for the many souls that you have brought together to rejoice in your day and glorify your holy name. We thank you for waking up every morning knowing that we have a purpose in life, and it's to glorify your name as your children. We thank you for bringing everyone here today to just love you and preach the gospel and to even learn about the word of God, Father. We just really thank you for everything. We thank you for lifting up our spirits, even though we walk through the dark shadow valley of death, and you still shine the light on us, Father, because you love us so much. And there's nothing that anything or anyone can do to take your love away from us, because we are for you. We are for you, Father. And we thank you and we love you for everything that you have done and that you are doing. We thank you, Father. We thank you. In Jesus' mighty name I pray. Amen.
Thank you. Very good. As soon as they get done passing the plate, we're going to hear from you, Steve. And what's your last name, Steve?
Diamond.
Sorry about that. I usually don't get out in front of that speaker, but I love it. Now, are you a Bible college student? You are, all right. What year are you in?
Third year.
I love it. Gave my life to Christ when I was 18. A little help from the New York State Police. About 2,000 feet off the end of my finger, right where the northbound ramp meets the highway. So we can talk about that later. But I'm going on over 50 years now following Jesus, so you're off to a good start. And it just gets better. Just gets better. Yeah. Okay, and we're going to hear from you now, right, Steve? All right, bring it. Sorry, so many of our folks are at a funeral, but people just, they keep dropping, you know? All right? Their bodies drop. Gary's more alive than anybody in this room, but too many funerals here recently and more coming, so. But we're glad you're here.
Glad to be here. Amen. Thank you. Thank you, Zach, for the testimony and just this building is beautiful. We just drove 6 hours completely by faith, really. The other guys were actually supposed to be leading the charge, but then God, you know, closed a few doors and they were delayed. So we kind of came up here like, okay, you know, we're here. Like, what is God going to do? And I'm very grateful to be here and see you guys and just see your faces and appreciate you guys. Let's pray. I have a small little word. Before we open up the word of God, I always just want to pray and ask for his presence. So, Heavenly Father, Lord, we come to you again, Lord, and to hear about the funeral. I don't know the person, but he was your child, Lord, and he's a brother. I've never met him, but he's a brother, and I feel it, Lord, and I'm just so thankful for life, thankful for friends and family, thankful for this Christmas season where we can be together, so thankful for everything that you've given us, and your son, Jesus. The most important gift is your son, Lord. Thank you. I pray that you minister to the congregation. You hide me, the speaker, behind the cross, and you use what is being said to minister to even one, and to strengthen for the inner man to be strengthened through what you are going to say to us. In your precious name, Lord, amen. So yeah, my name is Stephen Diamond. I'm from Bible College in Baltimore. And I just wanted to talk about the topic of waiting on God. Waiting on God. Waiting on God as a watchman. I don't know if you guys have ever heard that term, a watchman. A spiritual watchman. I know I have my grandmother, my mom, she's a spiritual watchman, where she's like a prayer warrior, you know. She's like always, she's praying for me, She sometimes will call me and she'll just know. She'll know what I'm going through. A watchman. She's a spiritual woman. So, but waiting on God. How many of you guys are waiting on God for something? One thing or another. There's something financially, relationship-wise. I think we're all waiting on something. And we are called to bring that to God. Because God says that if we ask, if we seek, we will find. Knock, and the door will be answered. But this is the topic I wanted to talk about, waiting on the Lord. If you guys want to open to, the scripture will be Isaiah chapter 30. Isaiah chapter 30. And we're just going to read a few verses, and then we'll kind of go. It'll be quick. It won't be too long. But yeah, waiting on God. What does it mean? How amazing is to wait? How important it is for us to wait on God? Isaiah chapter 30, verse 18. It says, "Therefore the Lord waits to be gracious to you, and therefore he exalts himself to show mercy to you. For the Lord is a God of justice. Blessed are all those who wait for him. For a people shall dwell in Zion and Jerusalem. You shall weep no more. You shall surely be gracious. He will surely be gracious to you at the sound of your cry. As soon as he hears it, he answers you. Though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore. But your eyes," this is cool, "but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it." So that's, what an amazing portion of scripture that is. I like to think about, you know, preaching, hearing the pastor preach, and isn't that so true? The Holy Spirit in us, like, it's not the preacher that's like, it's not his words, but it's God's word. And when it's not like his words necessarily that we are hearing, but it's almost like the voice behind his words, right? That's that the Spirit speaks to the church that way. This is the way, walk in it. I love that. And I believe God hears your prayers, guys. I do believe that. I know it. I mean, he's answered multiple of my prayers, and I know he's answered your prayers too. But for illustration, just that's a little beginning little note about God speaking. Is who knows what a gazelle is? Can you raise your hand? You know what a gazelle is? Yeah, it's kind of like a mixture between a deer and like a goat. It's got horns. You know, it's kind of a funny looking creature. But if you know what one of those things are, another question: is there any deer hunters? Yeah, there we go. I wasn't sure about Malta. In Baltimore, it's not so much of a thing. But I've lived in PA, so I get that. Okay, so there's deer hunters. So a deer as well. They're similar. Picture a deer or a gazelle in the woods, right at the edge of a field, right? It's quiet. You're a hunter, right? You're walking through the woods. It's cold. You can see your breath. And then you see a deer, right, on the edge of the field. And it's, you know, it's quiet. Maybe it's snowing. But that deer is grazing. He has his head down, right? And you're sneaking up to get into position. You're trying not to make a single sound. You're being as quiet as possible. Maybe you step on a twig. Right, you step on a twig, and then the deer, what does it do? He's eating, and he targets you. He lifts his head up, and he looks exactly where the sound's coming from. And his ears, what do? They like shift over because he's listening for the sound. I like to think about this as far as waiting on God. Right, we are people, and God sees your prayers. He sees the person praying in the car on the way to work. He sees the person that's praying in their, you know, prayer closet, at their bed, praying, crying out to God, like in Isaiah chapter 30. He sees those prayers, guys. It's a real thing. He's not like it's just emptiness. He sees those prayers. But are we listening? Are we listening for God's voice? I believe we are. I mean, we have a walk with God, but in the meantime, in the waiting, what do we do, right? I think rule number one would be to stay in the Word of God, right? To abide in the Word, you know? To stay reading the Bible, to stay like just face first into this book. That's so important because it's the Word of life, it's truth, God's Word, inspired God's Word. And so that's one. So that's kind of like us. That's like the deer or the gazelle grazing in the field. We're grazing. We're not worried about so much stuff because our face is in the book. Our face is in the book. And the beautiful thing about God is sometimes it's, you know, it's it takes a while. I think Abraham, I think there was 90 years or something like that, a very long time where God didn't hear, or Abraham did not hear from God. I don't know if it was 90. That might be the wrong number, but the point is there's seasons where we don't hear the way we want to hear from God. It's true. But we just keep grazing like the gazelle. We just keep our face in the book. We keep listening. And maybe we'll hear that sound, right? That, whoosh, you know, like that little, that still small voice, that quick, that little thing, that it's not much. It's, it could be one or two words. But it's, when we hear it, we, like the deer or gazelle, like hearing the twig snap, we look. And we're like, that's it. That's it. That's it. That's it. That's God. That, thank you. Thank you. And we get so excited, and it doesn't take much. It can take one or two words. God can change a life in one or two words. Like Zach's testimony. I mean, God can do things, and he has done things. And I think that's the way we can be. Like, just, and the thing about a gazelle, or just going back to that illustration, because I think it's good. It's a good picture to think about, is if you have a picture of them looking, they have like this single eye as well. They get the eyes on their head. They look kind of weird looking, but they're on it, you know, like they're looking, right? That's like us. We have a single eye. We are supposed to just keep the eye on, okay, this is what God said. I believe this is what God said. I have faith that I'm going to walk in what God has said. And Lord, like, lead me, continue to lead me. Like, you gave me this word, continue to lead me, speak to me again. I'm going to continue to wait on you. But in the meantime, we stay in the book. We stay in the word of God. And going back. And though the Lord give you the bread of adversity and the water of affliction, yet your teacher will not hide himself anymore, but your eyes shall see your teacher, and your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. When you turn to the right or when you turn to the left. I just think being a watchman, right? It's, what is a watchman? I think in the biblical context of it, it was a watchman was positioned on the gate or on the towers, and he would look for the enemy. He would keep a watch on anything, you know. And if there was an enemy coming to attack, or if there was another nation sending a messenger, we see that in the book of 1 Samuel. But a watchman is always paying attention. They're always looking for something, a sign, you know, a word, you know, anything. And I think we are called to do that. We're called to be those people. And we look at our fathers of our faith, or our grandmothers, or the wise people in our lives. They are watchmen. They've been doing this thing. They've been praying. They've been waiting on God. They know that God answers these prayers. Just ending. We'll end with this. I wanted a verse and then just another definition. Psalm 130, verse 6 says, my soul waits for the Lord more than the watchman for the morning. Indeed, more than the watchman for the morning. Hebrew word for watchman is, might get this wrong, it's safa, which means to look out or to spy or to keep watch, properly to lean forward, right? There's another picture kind of like of the gazelle, to lean forward, you know, listening, to peer into the distance, right? That's how we can be open, keeping our face in the book, listening for God's voice, waiting on him, in our prayer closet, and just waiting on him and enjoying the process, enjoying it, you know, not getting upset and anxious when God doesn't answer our prayer right away. but just to enjoy the process of waiting on God. So that's it, guys. Hopefully that ministered to you. Thank you for inviting us here. You guys have awesome, amazing faces. And yeah, amen. That's it.
And Ryan, as you come, do you know your great uncle's name?
Yeah, his name is Jim.
Jim. Jim Green, right?
No, I forget his last name. Oh, yeah? Else.
Okay. So, was it your grandpa's?
It's my grandpa's sister's husband.
Sister's husband. All right.
She's up here too, but she's in a nursing
home. All right. Well, we'll pray for him. Because I prayed for him years ago with your grandpa. Yeah. So. Lord, you know this, both the man and the woman, Lord, in this area. And Father, if we can visit either one or both of them these next day or two, Lord, we ask you to bless the visit. But Lord, we ask you to draw them to Christ and save them if they're not saved already. And lead them on, Father. If they're yours already, lead them on in your perfect will. Thank you for bringing these young men here tonight. Father, give us ears to hear and hearts and minds to receive. In Jesus' name, amen.
Good evening. Okay, so let me just say a little bit about me, and then we'll share a word. So I'm originally from Baltimore. My name's Ryan Green. I grew up in the Baltimore church on and off throughout my life, and then I went to Bible college and graduated in 2021. And I've been in Frederick, Maryland for the past 2 years, ministering with Pastor Dennis White. And I recently moved there in August. So spent a lot of time with Stephen, who comes out a couple times a week, and with Zach, who's one of our new guys. But so just really thankful to be here, and greetings from Frederick. God is really moving, and we're seeing amazing things happen, and we hope to get a little portion of what's happening up here. So let's pray and just ask God to be with those in this word. So dear Lord, we thank you so much for this church, for this body, and we pray for all of the needs and the desires and all of the things that you would give to this body. And we just pray for their pastor and their leaders, God, just bless them, encourage them. And we just pray for our time together over the next few days that we would be really ministering in your body, and we would get to know a little bit more of who you are and a little bit more of your plan for us. And we just, we earnestly await the coming of your celebration this Monday, the day that we celebrate you coming into the world as the little baby God in flesh. And we just pray for this word, that you would really draw it from my heart, that it wouldn't be me, that it would be you just coming and speaking to us tonight. Amen. So I thought it would be only fitting to talk a little bit about the incarnation. And I think one of the best representations of this kind of big, it can be a big theological concept, is John 1. So let's read. We're going to read John 1, 14 through 17. And I had no idea that John 1, 17b was on the back of your wall. So I discovered that during the worship service. And I don't know if that's meant to be. But let's read it, and just I'm going to kind of go through it. And I know this can be a familiar piece of scripture to some. But to us, I think we need to look at it with fresh eyes and really just see what is God trying to say to us tonight, and what is he going to speak to us in a fresh way? So let's read 1:14 through 17. And I have the NASB. I know you guys have the ESV, so it's great that you have it up on the screen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we saw his glory. Glory is the only begotten from the Father, full of grace and truth. And John testified of him and cried out, saying, "This was he of whom I said, 'He who comes after me has a higher rank than I, for he existed before me.' For his fullness we have received, for of his fullness we have received grace upon grace. The law was given to Moses, and grace, but grace and truth were realized through Christ Jesus. So, wow. Every time I read those verses, I'm so encouraged because I think that there's such a depth of the divinity of Christ that's revealed throughout them. So I wanted to kind of just dive in a little bit. So I have three questions that I kind of want to use to guide our kind of exposition tonight. What, number one is, what does it mean for the Word to become flesh? Number two is, why did John testify before the Word? And I really love that kind of prophecy in Isaiah that talks about it. And then also, lastly, what does it mean for the fullness of his fullness we have received grace upon grace? What does that mean? Okay, so number one, what does it mean for the Word to become flesh? So really, I think that this is an amazing just kind of statement that explains that Jesus, God, became man. And I love thinking about the fact that God was existing in time and space away in completely out of time and space, completely on a different plane than us. And Jesus was with him at the beginning of the world, at the beginning of the universe, creating. In John 1:1, we see the Word. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. All things came into being through him in verse 3. So we're seeing this second member of the Trinity being present at creation. And that second member, the Word, Jesus, comes to be with us in the flesh. And that's what verse 14 is explaining. Jesus, the second member, he came to become man. He became God with man. Emmanuel, he came to be with us. And in that coming to the earth, he is the express image of the Father. He is that, what is the fullness of the Father? Everything that the Father is, Jesus, when he came to the earth as the Word, displays. Everything that the Father is, all the attributes have been displayed in Jesus. And I think that's an amazing thing to think about when we're like kind of engaging with the idea of Jesus being God and man at the same time. And then I wanted to kind of step into verse 15, and talk a little bit about how John came before. So why did he testify before the Word? And I'll read the verse again and read a couple other verses that I think support the idea. But so in verse 15, it says that John testified about him and said, "This is he who I said. He who comes after me has a higher rank than I. He existed before me." In verses 6 through 8, he says, "There came a man sent from God, and his name was John. He was a witness to testify about the light, so that all might believe through him. He was not the light, but he came to testify about the light." And then, you don't have to put it up on the screen, but shortly we see this verse in Isaiah 40, verse 3, that talks about the voice crying out in the wilderness. And I just read a lot, but those four, like, these verses come together and they kind of explain this really cool idea that someone came before Jesus to proclaim the way, to prepare the way, to not be the one, not to be God, but to testify of God, to explain and prepare the way for Jesus, who is God in the flesh, coming to earth. So this idea of why did John testify before the Word is because it's to fulfill the prophecy in Isaiah 40, verse 3, that there will be a voice crying out in the wilderness saying, prepare ye the way of the Lord. So when we see John in verses 16 and before, or verse 15 and before, that's the answer of the prophecy saying that one is coming to speak before Jesus. One is coming to speak before the Word become flesh to testify. And not to be, but to proclaim the greatness of he who is to come, the he that came after. Because in verse 15, he says, "He who comes after me has a higher rank because he existed before me." And this kind of brings us back to the idea that Jesus, as the second member with the Trinity, pre-existed time and space. He was with the Father at the moment of creation. He was the very Word that was speaking across the depths in Genesis, that was creating the world, creating the universe, creating the stars in the sky, placing things into existence, creating man and woman in His image through the dirt. These amazing ideas. And we see that John is kind of coming into the world to prepare the Jews, prepare the people of Israel for His coming, to prepare the human race for His coming. And then when Jesus comes, in verse 16, we see, we're kind of jumping around a little bit. I'm sorry if it's a little jumbled. But in verse 16, we see that in Jesus' coming, that we have the fullness and we have received His grace upon grace. And I thought, I just wanted to kind of hone in on those two words, grace upon grace and fullness. Because I think they're having a little bit deeper understanding of them help us to understand the verse and really what that means when it says that of His fullness we have been given grace upon grace. So the fullness, it's a theological word, and it's kind of confusing. I was looking at a little bit before we came here, but one scholar says it's the plenitude of all divine attributes. And that really just means it's the entirety. It's, I like to say, the express image of the divine attributes. So Jesus is coming, and He is being the express image of God. And in His fullness, in His express image of the divine attributes, in His entirety of the divine attributes, being this like human God-man that's bringing all of the divine into the earth, He is in that fullness coming to give us grace upon grace. And I think that just reading that statement, grace upon grace, is encouraging because it implies that there's grace and then there's more grace. And I read one article and explained that it's kind of a cool idea. It says grace in exchange for instead of grace. So you're giving grace and then you're getting grace. And Jesus came in His fullness and all of the divine attributes to give us that grace and to exchange it to give us more. And then in another form, another way to explain it is an article explained it as grace. We get grace. So in His fullness, He comes to give grace and then more grace. And then grace served on top of grace. And then grace in place of that grace and then more grace. And I think that that way of saying is just a really cool way of saying and explaining, expressing that the grace of God is never ending. And in this whole like story of the Word becoming flesh and dwelling among men, and John coming before and expressing the importance of this man, God, coming, and then this idea of all of the divine attributes coming together and then expressing grace upon grace, the idea that God is coming to be with us. He's coming from heaven to be with us in the form of man to give us grace upon grace. And not only that, but to give us salvation, the opportunity to be delivered from our sin. And then really just in closing or coming to a close with verse 17, you guys have it on here. I think it's an amazing verse, but the law was given through Moses, and grace and truth were realized through Christ Jesus. And this is kind of really just coming in and explaining the idea that before Jesus had come, there was this idea that you had to keep the law. And when the law was not kept, there had to be a sacrifice. And we are tempted in our lives today, modern people, modern Christians, when we do something wrong, we want to do good on that wrong. We want to feel like guilt. We want to feel maybe a little pain because we want to make sure we get what's done for us. We want to make sure we get the right punishment, or we want to make sure that we didn't, if we hurt someone, then, I'm not okay with them until I feel like I've done enough work or enough pain, felt enough pain or done enough to atone for that. But this idea expressed in verse 17 is that the law of Moses gave that strict code you had to keep, and when you didn't keep it, you had to atone for it. But then things have changed. When Jesus comes, the Word in flesh, the Word becoming flesh, the God-man, it's all changed. And in him, he comes and he gives grace and truth. And that's realized through Christ. And it's no longer this law. It's no longer this, you have to do this and then atone for it if you do wrong. But it's that Jesus is coming and he's giving grace and truth. And that grace, the unmerited favor and the gift that we don't deserve, he's giving that to us. But then he's also giving us truth, which is that correction. So in the time before Moses, in the law, we have to do, and if we don't do, then we have to correct by a sacrifice. But now Jesus comes, and then we have that he speaks through grace, and he speaks through truth. Not just grace, not just truth, not the law. He speaks through grace and truth. So love and correction. They're perfectly entangled together, perfectly together to be that kind of antidote for the human race's problem of sin. So I hope that this was encouraging, but just in summary, we see that Jesus, he comes as the Word. He comes as the Word in flesh, and he dwells among us. He dwelt among us 2,000 years ago. And we come to celebrate that day in which he was born as a little baby. Like, that's a crazy thought to think about, that the God of the universe humbled himself to come and be born as a little tiny baby, not in the most amazing country, not in the most powerful country, but in kind of a very small country in the Middle East, but that he came and he had a mission. And in that mission, he was having someone to help him proclaim, prepare the way for his mission. And that he came in his mission and he gave grace upon grace, and he gave expressed all of the attributes of the Father in human form. And then finally, we see that when he comes, he doesn't abolish the law, he fulfills it, and then gives us the opportunity to receive grace and truth together through him, which is Christ Jesus, the one who came as a baby from heaven to eventually die on the cross for our sins. So I hope that was encouraging, and Merry Christmas, and thank you for having us. And I'll just pray for the end, just to pray that these words would, if there were any sort of confusion, they would sit in our hearts and just be there and remind us of the power and the greatness of who Jesus was. So dear Lord, we thank you for this night, and we just thank you for this word, and we pray that the words that came out would really be edifying to us and encouraging to us, and they would sit in our hearts, and that we would chew on them, and they would remind us of the power of your cross and the power of you coming to earth, and they would remind us to celebrate you on Christmas. Amen. Amen.
Thank you, Ryan. Thank you. Thank you, guys. Thanks for coming, filling the pulpit tonight, and look forward to spending these next couple days with you. And I didn't get an update yet. Maybe we should see. But I'm going to hang out here for a while. You're welcome to hang out. We can pepper these guys with questions about Bible college. And we've got Nathaniel's headed to Bible college here in a few weeks. So any of our teens, you might have questions for these guys about, like, what's Bible college all about?